Welcome again, guys, to the Canon Cantina podcast. This is the same place, but today's show is a little bit different. First of all, Mike is here in person.
In the same room, in Jesse's personal cantina here in Broken Arrow Basin, Planet, Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's actually the name of the location of the untapped GPS spot. Nice. So this is pretty great. No Skype delay. That's nice.
Yeah, that's right. So in our last episode, we told you that we would be covering the truce at Bakura today. Well, after we got together during the week, we decided to push that back because we wanted it to be just a little bit more timely. And for selfish reasons, I didn't want to have to edit an entire podcast about that book in one night, thanks to my travel schedule.
Yes.
So yeah. Our Bakura episode will be up next week. Today, we're going to have a shorter episode, but we're going to start off talking about Star Wars Resistance.
Right. Star Wars Resistance, the new animated Star Wars show from Disney, and it's going to be on Disney's streaming service, right, Mike?
It's going to debut on the Disney Channel, and I think maybe move over to Disney XD.
That's right.
But it comes out in early October, which is just a couple weeks away. And we put up a poll about this on our Twitter account because I didn't believe you when you told me about the YouTube announcement.
Yeah, let's take a look at it right now. Let's YouTube. Where are the YouTube likes at right now, Mike? That's right. So I told Mike about the likes, and I said, Mike, before I even sat down, I mean, oh, geez. We watched the trailer. Let's preface with that. Mike and I both were like, that was fun. Looks like a fun Star Wars kids show.
I watched it on my cell phone and thought it was fine.
That's what we thought. We both thought, well, we'll watch it on our phones. We'll watch it again together on a screen together. So we watched on my big screen 4K television, which was an awesome experience. But of course, when we did that, I was
humble
like...
Humble brag over here.
You know, yeah, I know. We have to look at the like bar, Mike, which is a little ridiculous.
Yeah, so as of early in the morning on Wednesday, August 22nd, it has 9,400 likes and 51,000 dislikes on YouTube. That is worse than when we put up our Twitter poll when I was initially surprised about this, when it had almost 9,000 dislikes and almost 9,000 likes and 39,000 dislikes. So we're going to play the trailer real quick, just kind of talk through it. And then,
yeah, just like we did with Clone Wars, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then we'll address our Twitter poll just for a minute, but let me go ahead and click play here.
Keep in mind, guys, this is a teaser.
That's right. This is just the first look trailer on the Disney Channel YouTube.
Can you imagine what it's like to be an ace pilot?
Yes, I can imagine what it's like, but I'm digging the animation style so far.
Yeah, cell shading animation style.
I've got a mission for you.
Yes. Well, that's film, Oscar
Disney,
Isaac.
Oscar Isaac.
Who's loyal to the good guys and who isn't?
What was that?
What was what?
The throwing and the falling over there.
Don't think about it.
Don't think about it, kid.
I like these later model Z95s. Maybe that's what these ships are.
That's what they look like.
Apparently that's a droid named Bucket, which I'm all on board with. And I think we just saw an R-41 Star Chaser, which is a super cool callback to the EU and the TIE Fighter games.
Phasma there. So, BB-8 cheering away at the end. The beginning is super cool, by the way, Mike, the anime shots. But, okay, so initial thoughts here, Mike. This is too quick to even make any sort of assessment.
It's a less than 1 minute long trailer.
Oh, yeah, the last 3 seconds are the Disney Channel ad.
Yeah.
50 seconds of footage.
Yeah, I think it looks fine. It's absolutely different than any type of Star Wars animation we've seen before.
Definitely. This kind of reminds me, Mike, of the PC Telltale Games series, if anyone's played those.
A little bit, yeah. It's been de-comic booked a little.
Yeah,
from those.
Three-dimensional elements to comic book styles.
Like the animation style is different, but different is not always bad. It might take some getting used to, But I didn't really have a problem with what I saw. And then I read the cast list and saw that, you know, Oscar Isaac was going to be back.
Gwendolyn Christie's
going to be back.
God, so awesome.
Donald Faison is finally a Star Wars canon character.
Not just Robot Chicken.
Yeah, not just Gary the Stormtrooper and Robot Chicken.
So any of you Scrubs fans out there, that's Turk.
Yeah.
He's going to be I'm assuming a main character on this, a reoccurring character at least.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And there looks like really good, representation on this show.
Yep.
So I don't necessarily know what there is to like. We didn't see anything in that teaser about the... Oh, yeah, to dislike, sorry. It's late. I didn't see anything in there that was just openly like, oh, well, that looks dumb. Because we didn't see enough to know what the plot is. Or anything like
I agree.
Nothing in there annoys me less than Ezra did in Star Wars Rebels.
Space Aladdin. Oh, so. If you only forgot.
You remember his hair in the first few episodes? It was all extra floaty.
It was extra floaty blue Aladdin hair, and he was literally called Street Rat several times.
Oh, gosh.
It's a running joke Mike and I have calling him Space Aladdin, but it's not really a joke. It's just a direct pull from the content. So the thing about Resistance, Mike, that excites me is, I mean, it's a kid's show about pilots in Star Wars. I mean, first of all, this is different than anything we've ever seen before. I'm getting a little bit of a Star Fox vibe too, like a crew.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially with like the
animation
the
too, right?
They were flying to and the animation. So
awesome.
I think I've read enough in the interim that it's set on a water planet and they're essentially at a
training facility
refueling base.
Okay.
For starships. And like I literally don't get what earned 51,000 dislikes from that video.
That's insane.
Yeah. I know that Dave Filoni helped come up with the concept for this show.
Right.
But he is not going to be the primary showrunner. He's not day-to-day involved because he's busy with season 7 of The Clone Wars.
Right. Of course.
Maybe that gives some people pause. I personally view that as a positive thing that we're getting some more voices in Star Wars animation. Yeah, man, I don't
know.
Especially
if Dave is an overseer of sorts, like an inspiration or a guide
to
whoever's creating this.
Right, he's part of this, but he's not going to be as hands-on as he was in Clone Wars.
And that makes perfect sense because he's had a track record of quality content in the animation realm of Star Wars, but he obviously can give the reins off to somebody else.
Yeah, so I meant to put a poll up for a week, but I'm a dumb and should not be allowed to put things like polls up when I'm using just my phone. And our poll already ended. Yeah. So we just put up a poll asking, how do you feel about Resistance now after that 1 minute teaser? Are you more excited, still interested? I might give it a shot, or no thanks, dislike, it's not for me. And like I said, this was only up for a day. We got fewer votes than our usual polls, but the majority that answered, 43%, said they were more excited, which I honestly don't put myself in that camp.
You put still interested.
Yeah, I'm still interested
Same.
In the
Same
show,
here.
But I didn't feel like that did anything to move the needle very much for me.
No. So right after the 43%, Mike, we have 29% still interested, which is a huge portion really. And then we have 14%. I might give it a shot, and 14%. No, thanks. I think after seeing this, I'm not interested. So pretty good spread.
Yeah. If you're not interested, we're not like dogging on you. That's fine. Not every piece of Star Wars content is for everyone these days. Now that we have more than just, the original 3 or 6 movies.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with this not being for you, but I don't really understand how a 1 minute teaser earns 51,000 dislikes either. Like, that's not a fair shot for any show, right?
Right. No, I think, Mike, this is stemming at a greater problem, which truthfully is why we've started this show, I'm so genuine and transparent when I say I want to repair the rift that seems to be in Star Wars right now. And this is a really upsetting example of this, that there's some sort of rift going on. There's some sort of mob mentality going on. Like, when you see 50 seconds of footage of some new content, you can't just say, oh yeah, it's complete garbage. Disney's done it again. They've ruined Star Wars again for me. That point it's just a mindset. I feel like you're stuck in the mindset. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, okay, so I read a really interesting Twitter comment about this. I'm not sure who it was. I probably credit them later, Mike, but someone gave an example. Season one of Clone Wars. This is pretty fun. Kids show about Star Wars. Season four of Clone Wars. Oh my God. Everything is happening in the world. Characters are dying. There's complexity. There's arcs everywhere.
Oh, I think I saw the happening. Same one, but I can't remember who said it.
Season one of Rebels. Ah, this is an okay kids show. We have Zeb and Ezra going to the market, learning about fairness with fruits. Season four of Rebels. Oh my God. What's happening with the Force? What's happening with these characters? What sort of arcs are happening? Internal conflicts. Season one of Resistance. Man, this kind of looks like a kids show. Season four, question mark? See what I mean?
See, I would disagree on Rebels. I think it sort of ended as a kids show that had a lot of ups and downs in between. But again, I gave it a shot and I watched the whole thing. I didn't decide from the first look that it wasn't for me. And that's sort of in line with what our friends at the Midichlorian News Network had to say. They said that, you know, most people who dislike it are going to end up watching it at some point. They just don't have the willpower or desire to truly resist. And, you know, with...
That's a common ARP age, yeah.
Yeah, with the age of, you know, Star Wars, Twitter, and YouTube, where so many accounts and, you know, videos or just pieces of content are centered around hating on something... They're going to end up seeing it, even if they watch it just sort of out of spite. And it frustrates me and barely makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited to see the premiere of this on October 7th.
Yeah, I am too, Mike. And, you know, I think this is really a worthwhile episode to talk about this because this is the hot topic this week. And in a lot of ways, I'm happy we pushed back Bakura by a little bit.
So is everybody. Maybe.
We're about to get to that, though. And, so what are you guys' thoughts on Resistance? Are you excited about it? Are you worried about it? Are you kind of indifferent? Or are you just still about the same excited?
Yeah, so even though I'm a dum-dum and our poll has ended, feel free to tell us on all of our social media what you think about Resistance.
Yeah, please reach out to us on Twitter and Facebook. We're going to continue on this release, and hopefully Mike will get a full trailer some point soon because the show comes in October, guys. So I would assume, Mike, that means in the next couple of weeks to a month, maybe more, we're going to get the final trailer.
At least the week before, we got to get something a bit longer than that. Yeah,
so we'll get an actual trailer, and we can judge it better, but I'm just excited to see the show about pilots, Mike. That's awesome.
Yeah, me too.
Star Fox vibe all day. And I want to know who
plays
Wolf.
What did they call themselves? It wasn't like Fox Squadron.
Oh, Force something.
Like I've played every game. Well, they're showing you the
Our brains aren't working. The
failings in the Star Fox continuity.
I just want to see who plays Wolf in this show. Who's the Wolf character?
Oh, well, that just made me roll my eyes so bad it hurt because I said Dave Filoni wasn't super involved.
Sorry, I don't mean a physical Wolf. I mean the grayish villain.
Oh, you meant Star Wolf.
Star Wolf, the grayish villain who's Fox's antithesis.
There we go.
Yeah, it looks like we've already got the Falco and... Slippy and Peppy type characters. But, you know, we'll cover that when we get to it. I could not. That was literally a thought I had as recording this. I'm like, this is really Star Fox inspired. So
I agree.
We've got some great news for you guys as you guys are waiting for Trusa Bakura next week. Also, Mike, you didn't mention this earlier, but I'm going to throw it in. Another reason we're delayed this is we're covering Bakura and Heir to the Jedi over the next 2 weeks. So Mike and I have two major sources, one canonical, one non, of early Luke and what that means for his character. And these are both pretty big books in the early canon of these times.
That's right.
Once of time.
Yeah, Trusa Bakura takes place immediately after Return of the Jedi.
One of the first books of the Legends.
In the Legends canon. And Heir to the Jedi is one of the earlier books released once Disney acquired Lucasfilm. In 2015.
Yeah, and I throw those in, Mike, because if you guys are reading at home or following along with us, some of you guys definitely might be with Heir to the Jedi. You got a couple weeks to read these and hear our thoughts on them.
And it might take you a couple weeks to read both of these.
Gosh, especially...
Foreshadowing.
Man, yeah, there's some parts of these that are rough, especially Heir, in my opinion, and we'll get to that when we get there. But that was my little... minor thing there.
That's a good teaser for what's coming up.
Yeah, please keep up. But that leads right into our next topic here, Mike.
Yeah, so while we've been together here in the same city for a couple days, we've been staying up late more nights than we should.
Oh, yeah.
Jesse's been going into work like a zombie while I've been here on... once the rest of my family goes to bed, I'll come over here and we record some podcast stuff. We've recorded some bonus content for everybody that's not necessarily tied to canon or legend sources that advance the character of Luke Skywalker. And the first one of those we want to share with you is a commentary track to Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
That's right, Mike. We've also actually brainstormed on a lot of ideas of future bonus episodes. Just to give you guys a taste, because we're still tweaking a lot of this, but we want to do episodes around gaming, around other sources of Star Wars that don't involve Luke, around conventions involving Star Wars, and maybe not even Star Wars, just regular conventions where Mike and I are out in the field getting, you know, our thoughts on content at conventions and things like that. And, you know, just so much more, Mike. Anything involving our love of Star Wars, Luke Skywalker, anything really around that. There's a lot that we've worked on and we're planning in the future.
So we recorded our Force Awakens commentary actually two nights ago. And once we stopped recording and we talked a little more about it, we were talking about our gripes of the sequel trilogy or our criticisms. And one, that we both share is the lack of familiar alien species in it. And just to give you a little bit of a preview of sorts of some of these bonus episodes, I decided it might be fun to just do a quick ranking of the top five species that we wish were in the sequel trilogy. So, I mean, we see Chewbacca, you know, the Wookiee in the sequel trilogy.
The Wookiee, singular.
The only Wookiee, but he was also the only Wookiee in the original trilogy.
Right.
But there are plenty of alien species in Clone Wars and Rebels.
And prequels.
Prequels and original trilogy that, for some reason, didn't make it to the sequel trilogy, and they were all replaced by Abednego for some reason.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. And you guys will probably pick up on that on our commentaries as we're like, oh, another Abednego, and
slow and low, another Abednego.
Beastie Boys reference here, there, left and right. So Mike and I had this idea of, just to give you guys a taste what our bonus episodes are going to be like in the future, we're going to do a mini bonus episode right now.
That's right.
And about our five races of aliens each that we came up with in secret from each other.
That's right. We have not shared these with each other, and we're going to start at number five and go up towards the top alien race that we wish had been featured in some way in the sequel trilogy.
That's right. So some way could be with the Resistance, possibly just in a cantina or in a background somewhere.
Probably not with the First Order since they're all anti-alien.
Exactly.
Stuff.
That's not why I mentioned them at all. So we're going to start off with this bonus episode right now, Mike, and just go into number five.
Yeah, what was your number five choice?
My number five was a Gand.
A Gand. I'm a huge fan of the Gand species, from Zuckuss to playing Gand characters in the Star Wars role-playing games.
Yeah. If you guys remember, Zuckuss is the bounty hunter on the far side, almost the furthest right, but he's by his buddy Forlom, the insect droid. But Zuckuss, he wears a gas mask of sorts. He has
They naturally breathe ammonia, and these oxygen-rich environments are sort of toxic to them. The Gand did not make my list, however.
No, he's number five for me just because I find them so interesting as a race. And we still don't know a lot about them, Mike. All we get to see is Zuckuss on screen for a few seconds. They're not even in the prequel trilogy at all. So for me, I thought in the sequels, Gan in the background somewhere is still another Gan we've never seen. That's kind of cool.
Oh, I absolutely agree. My number five species that I threw on here was the Rodians.
Of course.
Yeah. We see plenty of Rodians in the Tatooine Cantina in A New Hope. We see some Rodians in Clone Wars and Rebels. The lack of the green-skinned, sucker-eared, spiky, mohawked Rodians is definitely noticeable.
They're everywhere in the prequels and the original trilogy.
on each side. They could be, you know, working for the rebellion or resistance, or, you know, just sort of neutral scum and villainy types. But I feel like we are definitely lacking some Rodians here in the sequel trilogy.
Rip Greedo. We need more of him. And yeah, it just seems wrong without them here. So I guess that leads us to number four, Mike. Number four is a really big one for me. They're really big in the prequels and the original trilogy, and a proponent of the rebellion in the original trilogy, and that's the Quarren.
They were one that I considered, but they also did not make my list.
Good. That's what I'm hoping for. I don't want any crossover here. I want to talk about 10 races. I doubt that's going to happen, though. But the Quarren, we've seen them a lot in Clone Wars as well. I need to mention them because in Clone Wars, we see the conflict that they have with the Mon Cals on a larger scale and a lot more in depth. So it actually creates even more motivations for them. And then, of course, you see them all throughout the prequels. They're just everywhere, dude. Honestly, I think we see more of them over the 6 films than the Mon Cal.
We might.
They're at everything.
As long as you're discounting Rogue One from that, which your original statement took into account. Yeah. These octopus-faced denizens of Mon Cala.
They share the planet with the Mon Cals, right? Yeah.
There's an interesting, you know, like there's that shared planet dynamic along with the, you know, their presence in the galaxy at large.
Yeah. So I would really like to see them. They originally were called Squidhead by the ILM creature shop guys.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they developed the name Quarren much later, but just called Squidhead.
Yeah. So with my number four pick, I cheated because that's what I do. I actually chose two races for this, but they appear at such similar times in the films. I don't think you'll argue too much with me. I chose the Weequay and the Nikto. The favorite goons of Jabba the Hutt in Return of the Jedi, and we see them some in Clone Wars and Rebels again.
Oh, yeah, quite a bit.
Perhaps the most famous Weequay being Hondo from both of those series, or just Weequay that's sharing the Sarlacc pit with Boba Fett in Robot Chicken.
High five.
Yeah. I obviously don't think these people would have shown up so much aligned with the Resistance in the sequel trilogy.
No, but...
But at Maz's Cantina, you're going to tell me that there isn't a single...
Weequay having a cocktail.
Or Nikto guard or something there.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to second your thought here, Mike. I almost want to pair the Mon Cal with the Quarren here. And I know we have the prestigious and wise Admiral Ackbar. But, you know, he doesn't actually in the sequel trilogy. Here's what's odd, Mike. Ackbar and Raddus are both seen on their ships with advisors, officers with them, as in Return of the Jedi and Rogue One. But we don't see Ackbar with any other Mon Cal in the sequel trilogy, which is bizarre because the Mon Cal race has always been one of the biggest supporters of their rebellion. I would assume they'd support the New Republic and the Resistance. So I'll add a little tag of the Mon Cal with the Quarren because, you know, the shared planet race. But let's go and move on to number three.
That's right. What's your number three race you wish you'd seen?
All right. So number three, sticking with my theme of, I think, consistency, other than the Gand, I have the Duros.
Ooh, again, not on my list.
Yes.
Big fan, but they did not make the final cut.
So we first see the Duros in the Mos Eisley Cantina, which I mentioned the Cantina with our show here. And they are the guys that are basically blue Steven Spielberg type aliens with red eyes.
It's true.
And they're tall and thin guys. And of course, like Mike said earlier, with Hondo being the famous Weequay, we have Cad Bane as the famous Duros, another fan favorite side character who's not in either major films, but a big part in Clone Wars.
And if we talk sequel trilogy era, I forget his last name, but Lulo is an A-Wing pilot that flew with Poe that's also a Duro.
That's right.
Duros that probably should have had an appearance in at least The Force Awakens or The Last Jedi, since that was the first one to feature those RZ-2 A-Wings. Yeah, good choice with the Duros.
Yeah.
I'm looking up one thing because words leave me
because it's 1 a.m.
Thank you.
Thanks for that. Re-mentioning that.
Hey, I'm tired too.
So I thought I had his name right. And also, Mike, I got to mention a very famous Duro. This canonical is Shriv.
Shriv, yeah, from Shriv. The Battlefront game.
So from Battlefront 2, we have a awesome character.
He really is funny.
He's one of the better parts of Battlefront 2, and he hangs out with Lando, and he eventually starts hanging out with the Inferno Squadron when they, spoiler alert, convert to the Rebellion. And he's a major character. He actually fights at the Battle of Jakku as well.
That's right. No, I was like, oh, yeah, Duros, that's a good choice. But then you mentioned Shriv, and I was like, oh, crap, I should have put Duros on my
list. You're like, where's Shriv? He needs to be in this story. So he's the kind of the Rocket Raccoon.
Sort
of. Yeah, he's kind of that guy. That's, if you know Rocket, that's kind of how Shriv is like. And once again, he's a Duros. And, you know, Mike, I say this too, in a lot of these board games we play, a lot of the tabletop ones, Imperial Assault and Legion and things like that, there are Duros, Rebel Saboteurs, mm-hmm. and Spies and stuff. So Duros have been consistent in the canon for a long time, being with the Rebellion. So it's kind of interesting they're missing. But what's your number three?
My number three is the, it depends on how you pronounce it, the Twi'lek or the Twi'lex. My favorite character from Star Wars Rebels is actually Harrison Dula. I think she was fantastic.
Same.
Who was a little bit shortchanged at times. I'm glad to see that she survived through Forces of Destiny. She made it through Rogue One and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I was a huge Hera fan. Along with her father, you know, Chamsin Dula that we saw in the Clone Wars. I feel like we just saw enough of these Twi'leks, however you want to say it, in the original trilogy and these cartoons that they deserved at least a spot in Maz's cantina in the sequel trilogy.
Without a doubt, they're one of the biggest represented races in the entire galaxy, alongside Rodians probably. And the fact that we didn't see either them or Rodians is a true shame.
And not to be too morbid, but, you know, we don't know how Hera's story ends. We know that she has a son with Kanan. But does Hera perish before the events of Episode 7? Is it somewhere during the Aftermath trilogy? I'm super interested in finding out the end of Hera's story, because it's okay for stories to have an end.
Yeah, and I'm going to echo what Mike said. And I'm confident Hera's the best character in Star Wars Rebels, and she's my favorite character on top of that, on top of her, I think, being the best character. She is changed at times, but she's a great leader in the Rebellion.
It's really just those episodes when she gets stuck on the Ghost on pilot duty and doesn't get to, you know, stretch as a character right. A little bit.
And I'm also going to be a little biased here, Mike, when I reference some of my nerd cred here, but there was something about Hera that stuck out to me, and I was like, she reminds me of a favorite character of mine from the EU, or one of the older characters. Anyone that comes to mind with you?
Who would that be?
I'm putting
be?
You on the spot. Mike's like, no.
Who would that be?
You're already shaking your head. I haven't said anything yet. Jan Ors. And.
Okay. I'm fine with
it. It gets deeper. This gets deeper. So Kanan is almost a carbon copy of Kyle Katarn, which is completely fine. He's a Jedi turned smuggler instead of smuggler turned Jedi. All these things, right? He's in hiding, all these turns. And guess who picks him up all the time? Hera. who's bombing him all the time? Guess who's keeping his back? Who's keeping his mind clear?
You made me dislike Hera more, and I didn't think I could.
And you know what, Mike? Kanan, this rabbit hole gets deeper. You know what happens? You know what happens next? You're not ready. No, I actually like Kyle Katarn better than Kanan, truthfully. So I started looking into this a while back because I was like, they are way too alike. And, you know, we talked about the things where Disney pulling things like.
That's a fairly stereotypical relationship, but okay.
Same voice actor.
What?
I looked it up. I rewatched all the Jedi Knight stuff, and my mind was blown. And I knew it was probably more than just subliminal. Not, obviously, Kanan. That's a different actor than Freddie Prinze. But Hera is played by the same actor that played Jan Ors in the old
Vanessa Marshall absolutely did not play Jan Ors in the old cinematics.
Not the cinematics. Everything that was non-cinematic Jedi Knight onwards. So the last two or three games.
She died in one of those games, though.
She's there. Well, you want to pull up some clips right now while we're here?
No, that's a fight we'll have to have later.
It's not a fight. It's truth. You're right. In the Cinemax, she's not. She was played by a younger woman.
You live in the world today. Fight doesn't mean, or truth doesn't mean it's not a fight.
So that was really interesting to me. And, you know, it's cool. They both are really great pilots of these freighter ships. But I thought that was really funny thing. And that's kind of like the new Thrawn, old Thrawn. Like, they're taking what they like and moving forward with it, which I like.
My mind is blown if you're right, but I'm going to double check that tomorrow.
We're going to watch some cinematics from Jedi Outcast and Jedi Academy. Jedi Academy.
What's your second alien species?
Well, number two, Mike. I wafted back and forth a lot on this. I'm sure you did too on number two and number one. But, you know, I decided to go for more of the curveball than the representation. So I went Trandoshan.
Curveball. You went your favorite. Yeah.
No. I've done so far, I think, needed.
Hey, we saw a guy that looked sort of like a fat Bosk in Maz's castle. He wasn't
that's
a Trandoshan.
Right. That's right. But that's why I want to see a Trandoshan, is someone in Maz's castle, like in the corner, you know?
Yeah, no, I am absolutely fine with that pick.
This is more biased, Mike. This is more like I want to see modern creature creation on a Trandoshan.
Yeah. Well, that's a similar reasoning for my second
pick.
And
not wearing a Doctor Who space suit, because that's what Bosk is wearing. He's from a Doctor Who episode that they literally had lying around.
It's similar reasoning for my second pick.
And it's selfish.
And we sort of got it. We got like the cousin species to this in the Force Awakens. I've put Ithorians at number two.
Just
because they are so unique looking and almost like quintessential Star Wars alien, like the puppetry of the two mouths and the
so
weird shaped head and the eyes that we see in the Mos Eisley Cantina. There's a similar-ish looking alien.
That's Hammerhead.
With a regular mouth that shows up in Maz's castle, which is neat looking, but it's not a true Ithorian. I'm not even going to pretend like I know the best place to put one of these, but I've always liked them, and to see them again in the sequel trilogy, be that in even in like Canto Bight somewhere wearing a tux would have been cool.
That would have been amazing. Also, Mike, I'm going to mention this now because we're going to eventually get to it, but the Ithorians play a fairly large role in the Legends canon. So the Legends stuff coming up, we're going to learn more about them.
Hold on. My eyes have rolled into the back of my head and they're stuck there.
Well, I'm just saying that we might have some bias in that too, because we actually learn a lot about them, especially in the books much later on in the storyline. Yuuzhan Vong and stuff like that. And they're spiritual people, so they have an interesting...
Yeah, they were super interesting.
They're kind of those guys that have a tie to the Force, but none of them are Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're spiritual and they know how the Force works, but they're not Jedi, Sith, anything like that. That's always great.
In addition to being cool-looking puppets.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
All right, so here we are. Final choices. What's the number one species you wish had shown up in the sequel trilogy so far?
All right, here's a curveball for me. It's Ithorian. Number one for me is Ithorian.
Okay, well, I
want to talk about
him
more.
With that, yeah.
No, I love the Ithorians. I love Hammerhead. The first time we see him in the cantina, their influence on the Legends stuff, and I'm hoping they'll come up in the Disney canon. And they're just awesome, cool characters. They have a unique language, and seeing them once again, I'm going to echo what I said about the Trandoshans, but seeing them with modern technology, modern character creation. The Ithorian looks so good in 77. How would it look today?
Yeah. No, I'm totally on board. It's my number two species, so it's not like I don't want to see it. I agree with everything you said there. With my top pick, I tried to prognosticate into one of the darker timelines a little bit. In the past, I've stated that I don't want a certain character to show up in episode 9. My top race that I would have liked to see more, just in case they do show up, is the Togruta, Ahsoka's race.
Okay.
For several reasons. They look really cool. I wish we'd seen more of them in the prequels. We had Ahsoka in the cartoon and Shaakti briefly, like in the background in the prequel trilogy.
Unfortunately, her deleted scene with Grievous was cut.
She had a good deleted scene, but if Ahsoka is going to continue because Dave Filoni refuses to let stories end for his characters,
okay,
go ahead and put these species in the sequel trilogy. In Maz's castle, working for the Resistance in some way, if we see Ahsoka show up as a Jedi in Episode 9, I might walk out of the theater.
Really?
Yes. Honestly,
oh my, that's a new thing to unpack in a bonus episode, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not even that I don't like Ahsoka, it's just I don't like how Dave Filoni treats his characters. But if you just go back to like the most basic level, I think they're a super cool looking species, and they're like fun to play in the role playing games and all that stuff.
Okay, so that was a curveball. I didn't expect you to put that number one, Mike.
Yeah, I didn't really either. I'd made a list of like seven and started ranking them. I was like, you know, I actually do want to put this one number
Interesting
one.
Interesting you have Twi'lek and T'Gruta on your list. But, you know, they're look humanoid. A little similar, they're represented well in the universe and the prequels and the OT. Obviously not the T'Gruta, but yeah, very interesting. And, you know, I didn't say Rodian because I figured you would. I want some Rodians as well. That'd be number 5.5 for me.
There you go. So that whole conversation sprung out of our episode 7 commentary, which, like we said, is a bonus episode. I actually had a whole lot of fun recording that with you.
100%.
Just a couple nights ago. We will release that episode 7, The Force Awakens commentary, just on our podcast feed when we get to 50 ratings on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever you want to call it. So instead of doing a Patreon and doing an exclusive for members or whatever, we want everybody to hear this, but we just want some help sharing the show. We're trying a new approach with this.
Right. And like we said before, guys, but I'm going to keep saying this, every time you guys give us a new review or a new share or a new like or subscribe, it actually helps the exposure of the show more than just helping us with just how we feel on our end with seeing you guys watching it and listening to it. But it actually spreads the show through search engines and through different means like that. So every time we get a review, it helps get exposure to the show, get more people here where they get to sit here and listen with you guys, and we create this great community where we're all positive about Star Wars.
That's right. And we're already more than 20% of the way there. So I don't feel like we're asking just for an impossible bar. And like you said, we want 50 ratings. That's not 50 written reviews where you have to tell us what you like or you don't like. Just on your phone app. If you're an iPhone user, just leave us a star rating. Or if you're not an iPhone user, you probably need to go to the website, which we have linked on our Twitter and Facebook, and click a star rating. And we're not even asking for specific ratings. Just leave us an honest rating. But we do ask that if it's a 1 or 2 star, we want you to tell us why you left a 1 or 2 star, what we can improve, either in a comment on the review or send us an email at canoncantina@gmail.com. We like 5-star reviews, obviously welcome. But if you leave something, if you leave something lower, like a 1 or 2, let us know why you left one of those. And, you know, we're trying to get better all the time. So it doesn't even have to be 50 great ratings. We just want to have 50 ratings on here. Then we'll release that commentary episode. And we've got more coming down the pipeline after that.
Yeah. And I'm going to throw in here too, Mike, while we say we're here, those of you that write reviews, that's even better because we get constructive criticism. We also get words of encouragement for all of our hard work and all this reading we're doing now. And on top of that, we're going to start doing a thing on the show where we read you guys' reviews periodically throughout episodes.
Right.
So starting with future episodes, we're going to start reading comments that appear. And some of you guys have already left us comments. We were going to get to you guys first, but then after that, anyone that leaves comments after the point now onward, we're going to start reading probably one of those an episode and really just share with everyone that's listening the words you guys have given us, and because we think you guys deserve that. So if you guys want to leave us a written review, we will mention you on the show.
That's right. So if you leave us a 1 or 2 star review, tell us what you think we can improve on. That's great. And if you want it read on the show, you better make it funny for me to read it on the show.
Right, like not enough Jar Jar or something.
I said funny.
You'll get something out of Mike out of that, and my humor will be here. So if any way that motivates you guys, that's awesome. So simultaneously, we'll read your stuff on the show, but also you guys will be helping us out immensely, because the more written reviews we get as well, the more exposure it gives us.
That's right. And we'll be checking this pretty regularly. And as soon as we get to 50 ratings on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, whatever it's supposed to be called, we will release our Force Awakens commentary track, which is a good time.
Very good time. And it's also going to inspire future commentaries, Mike, and these future bonus episodes, because we're going to find more ways to get these out on top of the regular scheduled content with you guys.
That's right.
So for us to do this extra work, we're spending little incentives here and there, and you guys are going to help us meet those, which is going to be amazing. And again, actually going to keep us inspired, because I want to keep talking about Star Wars, Mike. I want to keep talking about how I want Trandoshans and, well, and the films.
I don't think we'll ever stop, but it would be nice if we knew some people out there were listening and sharing our opinions.
Yeah, and we're certainly going to put out more stuff the more you guys are into this and the more you guys are listening and the more feedback you guys give us, because I'm ready to do this all day, Mike. We'll get to that point. So
we hope you've enjoyed this shortened episode of the Canon Cantina podcast.
No Luke Skywalker today.
Gives me a little bit of a break from editing while I'm on vacation and traveling. We hope you had a good time here.
Yeah. And lastly, one more time I want to mention, if you guys want to follow us the following weeks, in this very order, Mike, I'm actually going to tell everyone what we're covering. We'll be covering Trusa Bakura next week. The following week after that, we will be covering Heir to the Jedi, which is, of course, Disney canonical. And right after that, we will be covering The Courtship of Princess Leia.
No, oh, he's committed us.
And then after that, we'll be covering the Marvel comics again. So you guys that have been at home following us with the Marvel comics, you can immediately move on to issue 3 of the graphic novel. And I'm really excited, Mike, to get back to that. I really, really am.
Oh, no.
What's oh, no?
I'm having trouble seeing past The Courtship of Princess Leia.
Oh, you're stuck on that. You don't want to hear about the Dothamirian witches again.
Oh, God. If you enjoy what we do, you can connect with us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page.
It's a lot of reading.
The Canon Cantina. You can find us on Twitter at The Canon Cantina, at The Canon Cantina. And we've also got an Instagram at Canon Cantina. And we've started to post more and more at those places. And someday I'll learn to not be a dum-dum and post polls for the right amount of time.
Please participate in the polls, guys. These are going to be a huge driving of content in all future episodes. And we're really liking this. I'm talking to you guys about the polls. So once again, thank you for joining us in this bonus episode. There's more of these to come. Thank you for your patience with Bakura coming on right up. Honestly, this episode, Mike, was mainly inspired by space dinosaurs being a race that's not in Star Wars.
Space dinosaurs.
That's how this discussion started, actually. Is like, see, Rook, we probably need Quarren first. Yeah, you know? Right.
So the space dinosaurs are coming up next week when we talk about the Trusa Bakura. The Canon Cantina podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, the Google Play Music Store, Stitcher, Podbean, Podcast Addict. We put these episodes over on YouTube. We're on Spotify now. If we're not on the podcast app that you use, let us know and I will get us on there.
Yeah, please do. So guys, once again, may the Force be with you.
That's right. We hope you had a good time here at the Canon Cantina. Cheers, everybody.
Boring conversation anyway.